It's a foggy night on old Cape Cod, a perfect night for a mystery. Tonight, Cape Cod Radio Mystery Theater presents a Captain Waverly Underhill mystery entitled The Junebug Mystery, or Someone Is Out to Kill You, Mr. President. Now, of course, there had been presidents coming to Cape Cod before, since early on. Teddy Roosevelt came here. Grover Cleveland spent a summer. But never before until then had there been a president of the United States you could actually say came from the Cape. Then arrived the year 1961. That was the year John F. Kennedy assumed office and the year that Cape Cod changed forever. The Cape had sent its favorite son to the White House, and the White House was putting Cape Cod on the map. Everybody's map, in everybody's glove compartment. And suddenly everybody who was planning a vacation decided, wouldn't this be a great year to visit Cape Cod? There was something different about the tourists showing up, though. Not only were there more of them, they were changed, altered. They had all been Camelotted. Not mere vacationers. These were on a mission in pursuit of the mythical kingdom. And this year, Camelot was turning out to be a sandcastle on a Cape Cod beach. The beach was in the little hamlet of Hyannisport. The sandcastle was inside the Kennedy family compound, home to the president. Not far from the castle, in the surrounding serfdom of Hyannis, the Welcome Home Jack banner was hung across Main Street, whether the president was in town or not. Further, on the outskirts, the tourist trap businesses sprang up like weeds after a fire, advertising with giant signs to lure the public off the highway. Giant lobsters, giant snow cones, Moby Dicks, Jolly Rogers, lighthouses, and leaning towers of pizza, all contributing to the carnival-like atmosphere. But there really was an extra tingle of excitement in the air. Every person felt it, even Republicans. It was as though the very act of driving onto the Cape, crossing the Sagamore Bridge or the Vaughan Bridge, was enough to transform every occupant, willingly or unwillingly, into Kennedy watchers. The object? To spot a Kennedy, the grand prize, the president. And, failing at this, to get as close as you could to the fairy tale seat of power, which was the compound itself. There were two ways you could get there. One if by land, the other by sea. By sea you could take a tourist boat, keeping a goodly distance away. The view was exposed, like getting a peek backstage. But you were kept so far, you couldn't see much. By land you could get much closer, less than a city block away. But there was even less to see. Just a glimpse of a stockade fence. Over that, trees and a roof said to be the president's. You could drive by in your own car, joining the bumper-to-bumper line that crept by, or you could board a tour bus and join the same throng. By bus, you sat a little higher and could see over the fence a little better of a tiny patch of lawn. You had to look quick, and tourists on the buses were often confused if they glimpsed and taken their snapshots of the right roof. Tour guides were vague answering the questions if the president were home or not, particularly when he wasn't. And it wasn't because the Secret Service asked them not to tell. It was more the way the whale-watching boats do when they aren't sighting any whales, or deep-sea fishermen when they aren't catching any fish. They pointed out that the president's schedule was secret, and that he considered the Cape his slip-away place, especially when faced with a major decision. It was said he liked to return to walk the beaches, which was true. So on that second Friday in April of 1961, about 6:30 p.m., two presidential helicopters flying low, parallel to the beach, we're making a beeline for Hyannisport. None of the beachcombers looking up could have known for certain that the president was on board, but the helicopters were enough to fuel the rumor. Excitement grew, the hordes of tourists swelled. By evening, the line of cars and buses outside the compound was barely moving, despite the best efforts of the traffic cops. To ward off the certainty of one of the neighbors going berserk, attacking the next tourist who asked for a glass of water, or to use the phone or the bathroom while exhaust fumes poured up onto their porches, a policy had wisely been implemented that shut traffic off completely after 10 p.m. An eerie quiet descends, which is nothing more than the normal quiet. One last carload of tourists departing the tranquil scene. Wait. Don't hurry away too fast. You'll miss it. Look back once. You may see the greatest tourist attraction there ever could be. Ah, if they only had turned around, they might have caught a glimpse. But they didn't. So they'll never know. And neither has anyone for the past 35 years. The alarming thing that is taking place on the other side of the fence. Look! There! On the roof! A silhouette!
Dr. Schofield?
Miss Toller, yes. Come in. How do you do? I'm Alexander Schofield.
Mindy Toller, hi. I'm sorry I've kept you waiting.
Oh, that's all right.
Is Captain Underhill here, too?
He is, I'm afraid. But I warn you, he's not in the best of moods.
It's my fault. I'm late.
No, it's not you. It's just that old age brings certain adjustments that we all have to make. I only want to warn you.
I could come back.
There's no point. He's much too unpredictable. Follow me. It was no problem for us waiting for you. After all, we've been waiting quite a long time already. 35 years and counting.
I can't wait to hear the full story. From what you told me over the phone, it's very exciting.
Hark, I hear footsteps. But that can't be.
Waverly, allow me to present...
Hi, Mindy Toller, archivist.
Waverly Underhill, retired. My, you certainly are tall. Like your name.
It's Toller, not Toller.
Hmm. How old are you?
Waverly!
I don't mind. I'm 25.
25? So you weren't even born while all of this happened.
I'm afraid not. I have a tape recorder. Where shall we do this?
Wherever you're comfortable.
Right here on the porch?
Anywhere's fine.
I'll need to lie down.
Lie down?
As my back is acting up again.
It wasn't a few minutes ago.
That's no problem. I can fix you up with a lavalier microphone. You can lie down. That'll be fine.
All right. I'll sit in this chair.
Oh, boy, am I stiff. That floor is a long way down.
Can I help you?
Yes. Would you?
Waverly.
That's very nice of you.
Have you seen a doctor?
All the time.
Oh, that's right.
I live with him. I'm his roommate. I'm forced to be under protest.
Nobody's forcing you. We merely reach that stage in life, Miss Toller, when circumstances and infirmity makes it wiser
Living
for us.
Living with one's position underfoot is one of the eight circles of hell.
Well, looks to me like you're the one underfoot. You're lying on the floor. Miss Toller, try living with a retired detective sometime.
Well, if she'd like to.
Waverly, stop being insulting.
Miss Toller, would you hand me that pillow off the hammock?
Oh, for your head?
No, under my hips.
Oh, Waverly.
Would you please? That phone book, too. Would you slide it under?
Waverly.
I don't mind.
He thinks it's obscene.
Yes, I do.
Well, then she can hand me a flatter pillow.
Oh.
Alex, why are you so upset? You're the one who said it was good for my back. Is to relieve pressure on my vertebrae.
I didn't say do it when we have company.
For a physician, you're very uptight about the human body.
Here, would you clip this microphone to your shirt?
Would you do it for me?
Waverly!
That's all right.
You see, we don't get along.
Oh, we get along.
You know, Miss Toller, this bad back of mine is sort of a legacy from President Kennedy. Something we both shared. But since he also introduced me to the benefits of Swedish massage, I can't really blame him. You don't do Swedish massage, do you, Mindy? May I call you Mindy?
Waverly, now stop it. Miss Toller, will you turn that recorder on as soon as possible? Maybe if there are microphones recording him, it'll make him behave better.
Thank you, Doctor. You're very nice.
Oh, Alex, you're so nice.
Waverly, if you don't stop behaving like a hormonal old goat, I'm going to take you down in the cellar and chain you up naked in the basement. Oh, my, you didn't record that. Couldn't we... could we start again?
How well did you know the president, Captain Underhill?
Not very.
Oh, yes, he did.
I never even met the man until just before he was about to be assassinated.
In Dallas?
No, Hyannisport.
But afterward, he got to know the president quite well, though. The president felt about Waverly the way the crew of the PT Boat 109 felt about the president. And for the same reason. They knew they owed their lives to him.
Well, don't forget you were there, too.
Well, I didn't do anything.
Yes, you did.
Well, I never saved the president's life.
I didn't either. I failed.
Stop that. You didn't fail. You succeeded.
You mean because the president was eventually assassinated anyway?
No, I mean that night. I failed that night.
Nonsense. Miss Toller, you better let me tell this.
Oh, no, you'll forget things.
I think one of you should go first.
I will.
And the other of you not interrupt.
Let me.
Dr. Schofield, why don't you?
Thank you.
Oh, great. He's going to leave things out.
I remember better than you. You're senile, remember? That's what you're always telling people.
Only about some things.
You can't be senile about some things. Either you are or you're not. If you are, you don't realize it. If you do realize it, you aren't. So you can't be because you say you are.
Miss Toller, do you see what I mean about the eighth circle of hell?
Well, that's only logic. You taught me that. Now let me begin this and be quiet. Now, Miss Toller, as you say, you weren't born then, but it is said of those of us who were living at the time that we can all of us remember exactly where we were when we first heard the news that President Kennedy had been shot.
And where were you?
Well, I was seeing a patient in my office. The nurse came in and told me.
I was taking a nap with the radio on.
Well, my reaction was like the rest of the country, stunned disbelief. However, unlike everyone else, my thoughts were also mingled with another date 2.5 years before, the date Captain Underhill saved the president's life. Except you weren't a captain then.
I failed.
Stop saying that. This man, Miss Toller, is a national hero, and I'm thrilled the story finally gets to be told.
If I am, then so are you. You risked your medical career giving the president that injection.
What was that?
Well, I'll get to it. But I want you to understand the risk was all Waverly's. Imagine yourself, if you were an unproven police deputy, practically a cadet, and by accident you find yourself assigned to safeguarding the President of the United States, would you be willing to stake your reputation, your credibility, your whole career on a theory that you've dreamed up that says JFK is being stalked by John Wilkes Booth? Patently ridiculous. What's more, the theory has no evidence to back it up.
There was a little.
No, very little. Would you be willing to risk it?
I don't know if I would.
If I was so brave, then how come you're the only one I told?
Because you knew you couldn't get the Secret Service to believe you. Not in time. Besides, you had just had that run-in with Agent Roy.
That's right. But you believed in me, didn't you, old friend?
Well, I wasn't your old friend then. This is how we met, by the way. This was our first case together. I don't know why I had confidence in you. Except you convinced me, that's all.
And what was the run-in?
It was that afternoon, around 5:45. I was at the Kennedy compound inside the president's house, snooping around down in the basement.
I was there, too, making a house call. I was upstairs. We hadn't run into each other yet.
The household was all abuzz because word had just arrived that the president was on his way. I was checking out the clothes chute in the laundry room when this guy wearing a dark suit jumps out of the shadows with a gun.
Freeze! Hold it right there!
All right. Don't get excited.
Don't move. Feet apart, hands up against the wall.
I can't identify myself.
Don't say a word. Not till I tell you, and don't move. Front gate. Agent Roy in the basement of the main house. I found a suspicious guy snooping around. Hey, what's your name?
Deputy Underhill.
He says he's local, Deputy Underhill. I've never seen him before. Over.
Checking.
How come I've never seen you before?
Gee, I don't know. Perhaps I've never arrested you before. Have you ever vacationed on Cape Cod?
Don't get cute.
Agent Roy?
Yeah.
It's okay. He's authorized.
He is.
It's his first time he's ever signed in, but he's definitely got clearance.
Well, that's dandy, damn it. Why did nobody tell me? There's supposed to be communication around here.
Sorry, mix up.
Never mind. Out 012.
Out 31.
I guess you can put your arms down. Sorry for the mix-up, but we have to be extra careful. Lancer's on his way.
Lancer?
Code name for the president.
Lancer? Like in Lancelot?
Look, we appreciate your helping out, helping us do our job, but it's getting to be too much like a zoo around here. The Kennedys are a big family, all their friends, neighbors always dropping over, plus the squirrels.
Squirrels?
Or what we call the press, photographers, they love them. We got 17 state police and 3 local, including you. I think that means we got too many Injun chiefs running around here.
Injun chiefs, is that another code name?
Why don't you tell me what you're doing?
Investigating.
What?
Laundry chutes.
All right, I'm going to ask you something. What are you doing here? We don't need you. You're not helping us. You're only making our job harder by getting in the way.
I'll be sure and report it to my chief. Police chief, not Injun.
I want you out of my way.
I will if you get out of mine. You seem to be standing in it.
Listen to me. We're not running around playing James Bond here. We think protecting the president is serious. We don't joke about it.
So you're humorless and proud of it.
This is a warning. Stay out of my way. If you're in my way while I'm trying to protect the president, I'll run right over you. Now get out of the basement. You're done snooping. I want you to leave the property.
I will when I'm ready.
Just remember what I told you.
Afterwards, I went upstairs to have a look around the rest of the house.
And I was just leaving my patient, coming out into the hallway on the third floor.
Who was your patient?
Sorry. Information about my patients is something I never divulge.
Get plenty of rest, take that medication, and I'll be checking on you first thing tomorrow morning.
Excuse me, Dr. Mudd?
I'm sorry?
You're a doctor, aren't you?
Yes.
Isn't your name Dr. Mudd?
No, it's not. It's Dr. Schofield.
Say, doctor, can I ask you to tell me what's this bone right here?
That's your pinky.
I mean, in med school, what did you call it?
That would be the proximal bone of your fifth phalanx.
What's this muscle called?
Trapezius.
Is tetracycline a good vaccine against diphtheria?
For your information, tetracycline happens to be an antibiotic, not a vaccine. I can't believe you people. Is every one of you paranoid? Do you think I'm not a doctor now?
No, not anymore. I believe you are. You were walking out, aren't you, doctor? May I go with you?
No, thank you. I've been here enough. I don't need a Secret Service escort. Aren't you boys just a little overdoing it?
I apologize for my rudeness, but I have an urgent reason. I'm not with the Secret Service. I'm local. Deputy Underhill? I know what you mean about them. Have you met Agent Roy?
Yes, I met Agent Roy.
I met him, too, just now.
What is going on?
Doctor, I won't be escorting you, but do you mind if we walk out together?
In that case, I don't mind.
Yes, I'd just like to speak with you.
Who is this Dr. Mudd you're looking for?
Oh, never heard of him.
No. Does he practice here on the Cape?
No, he practiced in Virginia. He's been dead for 100 years.
100 years? Then why did you ask me?
Outside first. Let's step away from the table. I'm not looking for a doctor, necessarily, doctor. The person I'm looking for could be anyone. I'm expecting a skillful actor.
What for?
There is going to be an attempt on the president's life. I'm fairly sure of it.
An attempt? But the president is on his way here.
That's why it's urgent.
Then you better tell the Secret Service.
I don't trust them, and they're not going to believe me.
You think I will?
I'm hoping you will. And I'm trusting if you believe me, you'll help me.
Go on. I'm listening.
Well, I have to tell you how this developed, or you won't believe me for sure. Yesterday, I was put on this assignment. I don't belong on it because I'm an investigator, not a security guard. But the chief got to pick 3, and he likes me, so he put me on it. But he didn't tell me what to do, and nobody else cared or was interested. So an investigator, I started investigating. That's how I stumbled on it. I was checking over the list of names of people who had registered in area hotels and motels within the past week. I was reading down the names and comparing them with my mental list of wanted criminals. It's a file we carry around in our heads like you know the names of medicines. And I came across the name Ned Spangler.
Ned Spangler? Is he wanted?
Well, I thought so, but I couldn't quite place it. I was fairly certain I'd seen his name on a wanted list. I checked the files and records and nothing. I asked around. The name didn't ring a bell with anyone else. And then I looked down the list some more, and I came across a second name, David Harold. And I had the same feeling. Once again, nothing in records, and nobody I asked knew. But I couldn't shake that feeling. The answer didn't come to me until last night. I woke up remembering. They were wanted criminals, but 100 years ago. I had been doing some outside reading on the Civil War, and that's where I encountered the names. They were two of the conspirators in the plot to assassinate Lincoln. John Wilkes Booth was their leader.
Well, that's pretty long range, isn't it? Can't be any more than a coincidence. You're not suggesting the South is rising again. Another conspiracy?
Not a conspiracy. A lone assassin following in John Wilkes Booth's footsteps. I visited the hotels. Ned Spangler stayed at the Crab and Anchor 2 nights, Sunday and Monday, and checked out. David Harold registered at the Sea Contessa the following Tuesday and Wednesday. I checked the signature card. Both handwritings are identical. It's the same person.
What about last night?
I'm waiting on that information.
It sounds a little unusual, I admit. But does it have to mean there's a plot?
No, it doesn't have to mean that.
Couldn't it just be a Civil War buff?
I think that's what it is. A Civil War reenactor, but one who's gone off the deep end. Who thinks... Wait. Listen. Helicopters. He's almost here. Look, Doctor, I haven't time to explain any further.
But John Wilkes Booth, that's crazy.
Not the original, an imitator, but just as dangerous.
Who thinks Kennedy is Lincoln?
Booth shot Lincoln on April 14th.
April 14th? That's today.
He shot him on Good Friday.
Good Lord, today's Good Friday.
He's almost here, Doctor.
All right. I have no choice. I'll help you. But what do I do?
Good. Look, help me keep watch. We especially have to get the president past the hour of 10 o'clock. Then I think we'll be all right. Can you stick around here?
Well, I think so. I'll just tell my patient I want to keep an eye on her. But why 10?
Because it's in the script. That's a great advantage, Doctor. We know what he's going to attempt, and we know when. John Wilkes Booth planned to assassinate Lincoln at Ford's Theater at 10:15. The shot rang out at 10:20 while the president was engrossed in the second half of the play.
The play... Oh, my God, I just remembered something.
What?
What my patient just informed me.
What?
President Kennedy. Tonight. He's attending a play.
Yes, good.
There really was a play?
Well, a skit, really. It was being held inside the compound at Bobby's house across the lawn. Afterwards was a twister party. It was something the neighborhood kids cooked up called Mr. Kissable Becomes President. The president was popular with kids. He gave them rides on his powder blue golf cart, and he promised to see the skit next time he returned. So it really wasn't a play, exactly. Oh, geez, those things scare me.
What is it?
One of those big Buzz Bomber June bugs. He'll spoil your taping.
We should try to get rid of him, I guess.
Get off. Go away. Go on. Fly away. He's got his little hooks caught on the screen. He won't let go.
Well, turn off the light, Alex, and he won't buzz.
Get off. Go on. Fly. Oh, there he goes.
Better turn it off anyway, or he'll be back. We don't need a light on, do we?
If you can be trusted.
The president wasn't coming all this way just to see the play, was he? So why was he coming?
I wondered that, too, at the time. 2 days before, on April 12th, the Russians had put Yuri Gagarin up in space. I assumed the president was coming to mull over a decision about the space race. I was wrong. He was mulling over a decision, all right. It was about a place the world had never heard of. Bay of Pigs. Come Monday morning, they would.
You know, Waverly, I've often wondered if the president's ill-fated decision to go ahead with that invasion was at all influenced by what happened to him. I would think he might have been rattled. I know I was rattled for days afterward.
You were also knocked unconscious. That's why you were rattled. I wouldn't say the president was. I thought he took it remarkably in stride.
How were you knocked out?
I did it.
Yes, and you never apologized.
What happened?
Well, we'll come to it. Now, let's go back.
Wait, I want to ask Captain Underhill a question first.
Yes?
You say you first got suspicious of a plot when you found those two names on the list of hotel occupants.
That's right. There were about 5,000 or 6,000 names.
Why is that so unusual? I mean, couldn't it have been just a standard coincidence?
A standard coincidence? I'm not sure there is any such thing. No, it was too improbable to be coincidental. It had to be deliberate. If you're looking for a coincidence in the case, you could say it was my knowing the names of the conspirators to begin with. That was purely coincidental and fairly lucky, too. Otherwise, I wouldn't have become suspicious. But the fact the names were on the list could not be coincidental.
I still don't see why, really.
Alex, turn on the lamp again a minute. Miss Toller, will you remove this phone directory from under my hips?
Oh, Waverly, not more of this.
We're going to try an experiment. You too, Alex. We've got two phone books out here. Let's just see. Now, there were 9 conspirators in all. 10, if you throw in Dr. Mudd. Let's see. There was, as I remember, John Wilkes Booth, George Atzerodt, Ned Spangler, David Harold, Samuel Arnold, John and Mary Surratt, Michael O'Loughlin, and Lewis Powell. That's the current Cape Cod phone book you have there. There must be about 150,000 names. Miss Toller, you look up Ned Spangler. Alex, you try David Harold.
Is that H-E-R or H-A-R?
Harold is H-E-R-O-L-D.
I found Spangler.
How many?
2.
Ned Spangler?
No, a Jack and a Marshall.
Okay. Okay, now look up Samuel Arnold.
There are 5 Harolds.
David Harold?
No.
Okay. Try Michael O'Loughlin.
There are plenty of Arnolds. Must be 50.
Any Samuel Arnolds?
No.
Try George Atzerodt.
A-Z?
A-T. A-T-Z-E-R-O-D-T.
I found 2 O'Loughlins.
Michael?
No. Elizabeth and Kelly. No, Michael.
Try Surratt. There were 2 Surratts in the plot. John Surratt and his mother, Mary, who, she ran a boarding house.
There are no Atzerodts listed at all.
Then try Lewis Powell.
There are no Surratts in the Cape Cod phone book.
And then try Dr. Mudd, Samuel Mudd.
Wow, there are plenty of Powells.
Any of them Lewis?
No, there's a Leo.
And try looking up John Wilkes Booth.
Ah, here, I found a Mudd.
Samuel Mudd?
No, Kevin Mudd.
Holy smokes, there are lots of Booths. Must be 20 of them.
Any John Wilkes?
There's a J. Walker Booth listed, and 3 Johns. John F., John G., and John L.
All right. That's a match.
My goodness, wouldn't you hate to be named Booth?
On the other hand, it was William Booth who founded the Salvation Army. Now, let's tally. We had 7 partial matches where we matched the last names, but only 1 complete match. John Booth. Out of a random sampling of 150,000 names. And yet, checking the hotel list, I had found 2 complete matches out of a sampling of only 5,000 or 6,000. 30 times smaller. So you see, it couldn't have been a coincidence. Well, better turn off the lamp again.
So what did you do after the president arrived?
We got ready.
We waited. I told my patient I was sticking around to keep an eye on her condition.
I called my office to say I wouldn't be back. I also got the information I was waiting for, the updated list of hotel registrants. I had my secretary read the list over the phone. This time there were no matches, not even a partial match.
What did that tell you?
Well, it was the first indication that my theory might be wrong after all.
Which you didn't share with me.
No point weakening your resolve.
That's right, or I might not have done what you had me do.
I didn't have you do it. It was your own idea.
Because you had me convinced we had to do anything to prevent the president from attending the play.
And what did you do?
Well, something I'm not proud of.
You should be.
I'm still not.
What was it?
I injected the president. He was just about to go see the play. His back was hurting from the helicopter ride. He wanted an injection of painkiller and muscle relaxant so he could sit comfortably. Instead, I gave him something that induces muscle cramps. Not dangerous, but painful until it wears off. Like a bad Charlie horse. Anyway, it worked. It kept him from going.
It worked splendidly. It allowed us to isolate him and keep watch over him.
Oh, keeping watch was horrible, nerve-wracking. Can you imagine waiting for an assassin to show up and knowing that the assassin is John Wilkes Booth? I felt like I was trapped in time watching history repeat itself.
It really was as if John Wilkes Booth had come back. After all, what was Booth himself but a delusional, paranoid actor? This impersonator had to be delusional, and he had to be paranoid. If he wasn't an actor, he wasn't going to gain entrance inside the compound. What we had was a crazy fanatic acting out the identical fantasy of another crazy fanatic out of history. Therefore, it really was as if John Wilkes Booth had come back to murder Lincoln all over again.
How did you make out?
The president is not going.
You did it.
He's not going to the play, and he won't be feeling like playing Twister either, I guarantee you.
How did you do it?
Well, his back was hurting. He wanted a muscle relaxant. I gave him the opposite. He'll be feeling worse, not better, for about an hour. Will that do?
It should. We're getting close to 10 o'clock. Is he lying down?
Yes, he's reading.
Windows are...
locked.
Shades?
Drawn. I drew them.
Good. Then all we have to do now is wait out here.
In the hallway?
We'll use this bedroom off the hall. There's no one in here. Keep the lights off. We'll stand just inside the door. You watch down the hallway that way. I'll watch down this. Keep an eye on the stairs, and we'll be ready if we see anybody coming up them.
Where are you going? I want to be able to hear what's going on outside. Listen to that traffic. How do they stand it?
We could be shutting off soon. It's almost 10. Don't feel bad, Doctor. You did the right thing.
Did I? I violated the Hippocratic Oath. A doctor's most sacred oath. Cause no harm.
Ask not what your country can do for you, Doctor. Ask what you can do for your country. I'd say you just did. You're saving the life of the president.
I just hope you're right about all this. I mean, I don't want you to be. I'd rather you weren't. I'd rather not confront a crazed killer. Do you have a gun?
Checked at the gate. I have this radio. I can call in reinforcements.
One of those. The president has one on his bureau.
Shh. Maids are moving around. Everybody else must be over at the play.
Waverly, you can't be sure about this.
No.
You realize there hasn't been a president shot since...
McKinley.
Oh, that must be...
60 years ago, 1901. How long ago, this is nothing about when it's going to happen again. Although I admit, it has made the Secret Service more cocky. So in that sense, it's made it more likely. Don't lose confidence, Doctor. We can feel foolish later if we have to. But to be safe rather than sorry requires that we be a little paranoid.
No, thank you. I'm a physician. At least I was. I try to cure paranoia, not cultivate it.
It's 10 o'clock. Be ready, Doctor. This is about the time John Wilkes Booth shows up at Ford's Theater.
They're shutting off the doors. Listen.
April 14th is unlucky for another reason. Did you know?
Why is that?
Lincoln was shot on April 14th. He died April 15th. The Titanic struck an iceberg April 14th. It went down April 15th. course, that was 1912, not 1865.
So what are you going to tell me next? You're expecting an iceberg to show up.
Dr. Schofield, Dr. Schofield!
The president. Probably his back.
Quick, go in and see. I'll be right outside.
Mr. President? Still hurting?
It's my back.
I don't understand. You should be feeling some relief by now.
Well, it's still acting up. Can't I have another injection?
No, I can't. Not for another hour. It's best if you remain lying down, Mr. President.
Well, I need something. Perhaps a bath would do.
I suppose so. Yes, it might. I suppose. All right. I'll be right back. Just a minute.
Yes, and not a moment longer.
What's he doing?
He wants a bath.
That's no problem.
Not up here. In the basement. There's a whirlpool tub down there. He wants to use it.
All right. That's okay, too. Maybe even better. We can sneak him down there without being seen. I'll go down and start filling the tub and checking the room out. In a few minutes, you lead him down. Then stay with him. I'm coming back up here.
No. No, I can't guard him alone. What if I need you?
We'll do it this way. When you go back in, help yourself to his portable radio. It's identical to this one?
Yes.
These are set to channel 9. We'll set ours to 14. We can talk to each other privately. You can call me if you need me.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to be a presidential decoy.
Waverly Underhill, do you read me? Over.
I read you. Over.
I'm outside the tub room. He's soaking. The coast is clear. Over.
I'm in his room. Nobody's showing up here yet either. Over.
What time is it now?
It's 10 minutes after 10. Our assassin may be running late. By now, the real Booth had entered the back of Ford's theater. He'd snuck around the stage and was climbing the back step to the dress circle. Wait a minute.
Waverly, do you hear that? Over.
I hear it. I'm switching back to 9. I'll call you back in a minute. Out. Schofield. Never mind, it's legitimate, just a neighbor. He's not getting in, over.
Oh, Waverly, I'm glad you're back on. I'm on my way to the gatehouse.
You left the president?
I had to. He told me to.
Get back to where you were. I'm coming down.
Waverly, he told me to. I'm sorry.
Never mind, come on.
The coast is still clear.
Go in and check it.
Mr. President! Mr. President? Mr. President! Waverly, he's gone!
Check the tub! Is he underwater?
No. No, he isn't.
Well, then start looking through the house. You go that way. Look everywhere. Find him!
Mr. President.
Yeah, what is it? I know about the neighbor. I'm coming. Just let me get a bathrobe on.
Sir, my name is Deputy Underhill. I'm a police investigator. Mr. President, I need your cooperation. I have reason to believe your life is in danger right now. I'll try to explain, but I need to ask you to bear with me. No. Shh. Don't answer. Who is it?
Waverly, it's me.
Is the hall clear?
Yes, it is. Him.
Dr. Schofield.
Mr. President, did he tell you?
Dr. Schofield, do you believe him?
Yes, Mr. President, I do.
We better alert the Secret Service.
No, sir. I'd rather not alert anyone just yet. We'll be safer if we wait just a few minutes.
What time is it?
Shh. Don't say anything. Who is it?
I'm looking for President Kennedy.
Who is it?
Inga Nichols.
Mr. President, do you know her?
Yes.
Did you send for her?
No.
Who sent you, Miss Nichols?
President Kennedy's father sent me to massage his sore back.
I think it's all right. Let her in.
Miss Nichols, is the hall empty?
You mean, yeah, there is no one out here but me?
Inga.
Oh, what is going on?
You'll have to ask these gentlemen. I'm just a spectator. Miss Nichols, this is Dr. Schofield.
Miss Nichols, how do you do?
Everybody keep away from the windows, please, even though the shades are drawn. 10:20, Doctor. By now, Booth was entering the private hallway outside the president's box. He was right outside the door.
By Booth, you mean John Wilkes.
I'm afraid, yes.
Shh. Excuse me, Mr. President. Captain Arms, Secret Service. Is everything all right in there?
Go ahead. Answer.
Mr. President?
Yes. Yes, it is, Captain. Thank you. I don't believe I know him.
Mr. President?
Don't let him in.
Would you mind opening up, sir? I need to satisfy myself everything is all right.
Everything is fine. I'm just about to get a back massage from Inga Nichols.
Yeah? Yeah, I am in here, too.
Mr. President, I'm sorry. I just need to check for myself. Sir, open up.
Agent, I am ordering you not to be bothering me. Now go away.
No, sir. Not until I'm satisfied.
What should we do?
No.
Sir, I think something's wrong. Now, if you don't open this door immediately...
Look out! Watch out! Ah!
Hold him! Grab him!
Which one?
Careful, he has a knife!
Six temperature, Your Honor! Six temperature, Your Honor! Stop him at the tightness! Stop him at the end!
Sure now!
I am John Wilkes Booth! I am Booth! My name will descend to posterity! It will never be forgotten! It will be in all the histories of all the times to be read thousands of years after you and I are both dead!
Mr. President, are you all right?
Yes, yes, never mind me. See the Dr. Schofield. He's the one injured.
He's out. The bullet grazed his forehead.
Come on, get medics up here right away.
Miss Nichols, are you all right?
Yeah, Mr. President, I am fine. The shock is fine.
Mr. President, what happened here?
It appears this deputy just saved my life.
Oh. The good doctor's coming, too.
Yes, thank God.
Mr. President, please, I need to know what happened
here.
Well,
let Deputy Underhill tell you.
We were expecting an assassin to show up. One that thinks that he's John Wilkes Booth. I thought you might be him. It turns out he was already hiding in the room. He snuck up behind us because all of us were facing the door. He was pointing the derringer. I saw his arm just in time. Unfortunately, in deflecting the shot, Dr. Schofield got pistol whipped and the bullet grazed his forehead. Now he's coming around. He's a lucky fellow. He'll have a scar. But he is lucky.
He'll also have a medal to go with it. Here come the medics. Quick, in here. You have a stretcher?
No, straitjacket.
Oh, then you want down the hall. Captain Arm, why don't you escort them?
Is it safe?
It's safe.
I'm sure it's safe now.
Come with me.
Don't get up, Doctor. Keep lying still.
Help me, sir. I am a Southern gentleman.
That poor man is seriously out of his mind. He thinks he's Booth. That makes me Lincoln, I suppose.
You are the president, Mr. President.
So I am. That I am. And since I am, I'm going to be asking you to obey a presidential order and keep this confidential.
I understand.
I don't want this getting out.
Oh, no, sir.
You know, Deputy, when you first burst in here yourself, I thought you were the crazy one.
I know.
Even after Dr. Schofield arrived and Inga, I was still thinking of how to best protect myself from you.
Yeah, I thought you were crazy, too.
I was even considering asking Inga here to offer one of her massages. I figured after that, you might still be crazy, but you'd be harmless. Come in.
Medic.
Right over here. Take the best possible care of him.
It's
so. Do you still have a scar?
Yes, I do. Turn on the lamp. If I lean into the light, look right here.
It's not very big.
Well, it's gotten smaller over the years. Everything shrinks. We shrink. History shrinks.
Do you have a medal?
Oh, we both do. His is bigger.
But you have a Purple Heart.
Captain Underhill, I still don't understand. How did he sneak up behind you?
Because I made several blunders. The first was when I checked the hotel registries for the last time and discovered there were no matches. I interpreted that as evidence my theory was wrong. I should have realized there was another explanation.
Which was?
That Booth was already inside the compound. The reason he hadn't signed another registry at some hotel was because he was already in hiding.
How did he get in?
We never found out for sure.
He might have snuck over the fence the night before. That would have been easier to do with the president not there. Security would have been more lax.
How did he get into the president's room?
Well, he might have slipped out the basement and climbed to the roof and come in the bedroom window. Or else he might have come up the stairs while I was running down the other way. Either way, it led to my biggest blunder.
Which was?
Well, when I came up to find the president in his bedroom, I assumed, because he was still alive, that the assassin could not be in there, too. I should have rechecked and resecured that room.
I see. And why didn't the president want the story getting out?
Well, he thought it would distract the country.
He knew very well the sword of Damocles hangs over the head of every president. So what was the point?
So after you saved him, how did you feel when he was later killed in Dallas? By the way, you don't have a solution for that one, too, do you?
I wish I did. No. No, I felt shocked and saddened, like everyone else.
Did it make you think that saving him had been useless?
Not at all. No, I felt the way the president felt after the Cuban Missile Crisis. After the danger was over, he expressed the thought that perhaps he had performed his one single presidential purpose, to avert a nuclear war. He even joked afterwards to his brother Bobby, and I think it's clear what he was remembering as he spoke, that perhaps now it was time for him to go to the theater, as Lincoln had done. Bobby's answer was, well, if you're going, I'm going with you.
Well, Waverly, here she goes. Looks like we both struck out.
Let her go. Obviously, she has a boyfriend somewhere.
Oh, is that her excuse, is it? Well, it's done. Our most famous case. Think anyone will believe us?
I don't know. It's up to them. Oh, I think I'll sleep on the porch.
Oh, that doggone June bug again. Why do they always sound so angry?
You have been listening to Cape Cod Radio Mystery Theater's presentation of the Junebug Mystery, or Someone Is Out to Kill You, Mr. President. The actors, Dave Ellsworth, played Captain Waverly Underhill. Wally O'Hara was Dr. Alexander Schofield. Nicole Noel played Mindy Toller, archivist. David C. Wallace played young Underhill. Tom Dutton was young Schofield. Michael Meller was Agent Roy. Stephen Russell was Captain Arm. Laura Garner was Inga Nichols. Chuck Powers was the angry neighbor. Don Bliss played John Wilkes Booth. Debbie Oney and Nikki Todd were the maids. Catherine Oney was on the beach. And Kevin Rice played President Kennedy. Tonight's program was produced, written, and directed by Stephen Thomas Oney. Engineering by John Todd. Original music by Mark Birmingham. Program recorded at HT Studio, Cape Cod, and Rosemead, Los Angeles. Copyright by Stephen Thomas Oney for Cape Cod Radio Mystery Theater. One note on tonight's play. All of the dates and facts used in this story are historically accurate, with one exception. that we do not believe President Kennedy was actually on Cape Cod that weekend. But who knows? He may have fooled us. Jack always liked to fool people. Tonight's program is dedicated to John F. Kennedy, 35th United States President, who, in August of 1961, established the Cape Cod National Seashore. This is Bernadette McPherson, playing Rose Kennedy, wishing you a pleasant evening and inviting you to tune in again when the fog rolls in on another chapter of the Cape Cod Radio Mystery Theater.